Today, we're sending a clear message that we will never give in to extortion, because that's what it was.
That is the open disdain of this corrupt elite that wants to rip you off. Trump's trying to reform it.
This is why we want Jack Smith in front of our committee in a deposition format after we get the documents, and we can ask him some of the same questions we ask his deputies that they took the fifth to. Like a simple question, was this a political operation you guys are running against President Trump? I exercised my Fifth Amendment liberties. How many other members of Congress did you spy on? I exercised my Fifth Amendment liberties. Those are the kind of questions we want to ask Jack Smith and see what kind of answers we get from the guy who ran this whole operation.
H.R. 5371, the Continuing Appropriations Act, passed by the House on November 12, 2025, in a 222-209 vote to end the 43-day government shutdown that began on October 1, 2025. The public will only really learn of an H.R. 5371 that guarantees back pay with interest for furloughed federal workers, bans federal layoffs through January 2026, and provides $29 billion in disaster relief, $5.7 billion for border security, a two-year debt limit suspension through January 2027, and extensions for CHIP and community health centers. And then begins the gray area. Section 781, backed by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, long funded by the liquor industry, effectively banning hemp products like Delta 8 and THCA, threatening 95% of the $30 billion market, 300,000 American jobs, and $1.5 billion in state revenue. And as Americans suffered as leverage.
Of course, there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. We take that responsibility very seriously, but it is one of the few leverage times we have.
The hog trough was filled. The bill also includes $10 billion for shipbuilding, $2.5 billion for missile defense. You see, $12.5 billion in defense pushed through pre-allocated funds to specific shipyards in powerful lawmakers' districts, bypassing competitive bidding and waiving Buy American rules for favored contractors, allowing a slew of foreign contractors to take those bids. Pork barrel politics benefiting politicians and donors, not the taxpayers. Most controversially, a rider in Section 957 appropriates for a special counsel fund, allowing GOP senators and representatives that were targeted in the Arctic Frost investigation to sue the Department of Justice using taxpayer dollars. Essentially, retaliatory legal warfare funded by the public, while platforms like InfoWars are hung out to dry.
By shutting down the Alex Jones investigation Ed Martin was trying to look into, is covering up for Arctic Frost criminality.
Let's go further. We have the documents the DOJ illegally funded it. That's what Todd Blanche killed. Now this is a cherry on top of Todd Blanche protecting now Arctic Frost.
We have ties between George Soros and the Sandy Hook funded lawsuits. We have ties between George Soros and all of the NGOs engaged in riot campaigns, including the so-called No Kings movement. So you aggregate this, but why isn't George Soros being looked at? Is it because Scott Bessent got rich through George Soros?
What you're seeing is the cover sheet or the opening for the case of Arctic Frost. And the names that you'll see on there are Brian Turner, who's gone, and Jason Jones, who's gone, and Luis Quesada, who's gone, and Steve D'Antuono, who's gone, and Tim Tebow, who's gone, and Paula Bate, who was the deputy director, and he's gone. What you don't see are the names that are redacted, and those redacted people still work for the FBI.
They're literally saying, we're find any crime, get them. I can't believe they admitted this on record. Like, this is total weaponization admitted.
No, I mean, look, they tried to destroy the people whose voices are the loudest. This is why they came after InfoWars. That's why they've gone through all these bogus, defamation actions, which all you ever did was exercise your First Amendment right.
The retroactive potential to have dollars going to United States senators, when we've got American citizens, whether it was J6ers, whether it was people from the FACE Act, whether it was others that have also had the full force of the federal government through the Department of Justice targeting and coming down on them, and they're going to see, oh, but you can slide in a provision in here for United States senators? Like, it is beside my comprehension that this got put in the bill. And it's why people have such a low opinion of this town.
John Bound reporting for Info.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
That's right, I'm back. It's like I almost never left. Just kidding. I'll be here Friday and Monday while Brianna takes a bit of a respite. She might be popping in, though. She sent me a text this morning about a DHS situation where Kristi Noem stuck her foot in her mouth once again. We will cover that. You saw the John Bowne report earlier about what was in this supposed clean CR, including the regulations that are going to destroy the hemp industry. Here it is from High Times, something we usually don't read or cover on InfoWars, the High Times publication, but Trump signs shutdown deal to recriminalize hemp, starting a one-year race to rewrite the rules. Donald Trump has signed the bill that ends the longest government shutdown in American history and sets in motion the return of federal prohibition for most hemp-derived products. The Senate passed the package on Monday. The House followed on Wednesday. Inside the hundreds of pages that fund critical agencies sits one of the most dramatic drug policy reversals the United States has seen in years. And if you're on X, you could see different the small businesses, these hemp either farmers or distillers or packagers or resellers, they're getting mad. They're definitely getting mad, and they have a right to be. And this is going to be an interesting one-year time in order to get this reversed. But who is it brought by? Mitch McConnell. One of his parting shots of leaving the Senate is to throw a little bone to the alcohol companies, because you see drinking's down. Oh, drinking's down. Why? Because people are finding other alternatives to relax. People are looking at the debilitating health effects of binge drinking. And they're going, you know what? I don't need to do this. I don't need to go out, you know, four or five nights a week and get plastered and feel like crap the next day. And so what do they do? I think this is a two for two. I think it's tobacco and the alcohol industries wanted this back in. And hey, let's throw Big Pharma in there too. Because a lot of people are taking CBD for pain, CBD to help them sleep, CBD to wake them up. There's CBDs for almost any type of ailment you have out there, and people are using it. People are using CBD and hemp oil. Some people are using you take like the really good sativa bud and you distill an oil out of it. I think they called it, it was somebody's tears. Some guy came up with the process, and people are using that for cancer treatment, and they've been using that for years. You guys look that up, please. It's like Phoenix Tears, I think it's Phoenix Tears. And look up the guy who made it, because all this stuff is now going to be once again federally illegal, instead of letting the private market determine, let people determine what they want to put in their bodies. Rick Simpson, that's what it was. Rick Simpson, thank you. Yes, Rick Simpson. I mean, a lot, and that's like from the 90s he was helping people out. But I'm going to go ahead and bring on our first guest, because I think we got a lot to talk about. This is Farmer Mike from Jennings Clean Farm. He put out a tweet yesterday. I saw it, and I said, hey, I'm going to be hosting the American Journal tomorrow. You want to come on and talk about it? Because I think this is an important, this is a, you know, 300,000 employee industry across the United States is probably more. I'd say it's probably closer to 500,000. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. I think some of the reports I heard is over $20 billion a year in hemp and CBD type products, and even legal marijuana, medical marijuana. This is a big industry, and it's cutting into the profits of big pharma. So I think this is one of the deals to end this shutdown was, you know, Mitch McConnell is going to try to shoehorn this in. Farmer Mike, are you there from Jennings Clean Farm over in New Jersey?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. I know we had a little time zone issue, but you're here with us. Why don't you tell people, let's get into the bill, what it states. There's a lot of weirdness in this bill, too. I think there's something about $500,000 that they could give to each senator for being spied on. There's all kinds of weirdness in the supposed clean CR. But one of the big things here is they're going after the legal hemp, the CBD industry, which will then lead into the legal THC industry. So why don't you give us your distillation of it, and then we'll cover these different tidbits. High Times put out a good tweets thread about it and an interesting article about it, too. Just covering the whole process and what it's going to take for people to do to turn this around. But I'll give you the floor.
All right. So, you look at these things in a whole bunch of different factions. But I don't think it's too extreme to say that this is an extinction event for the hemp industry. And when I say that, legal, not legal, Delta 8, synthetics, the whole thing. And then people like us, what we do is we take the whole plant and we believe in a holistic approach. We take that plant, we make sure it's below the 0.3% level. It's tested by the state of New Jersey, and then we test it independently on our own. And then our license covers cultivation, clearly harvesting, processing, drying, curing, and then also wholesaling and retail sales. So we have a pretty good understanding about the entire industry from start to finish, and one of our taglines is seed the shelf. So we knew early on that when we started this process, that there was a lot of nefarious players in the industry. And so there we are. You know, the first thing that you see on our website is, do you trust your cannabis? The ladybug represents a holistic approach. So we don't use herbicides, fungicides, insecticides. And the only manure that we use would be all clean manure. We primarily go for alpaca and rabbit because it gives us the right MPK ratio. So from start to finish, we take the product ourselves, and then we supply to our friends, our family, and our community. So we're not in the big business side, but we do believe that somebody like us, the sneakiest part of what was introduced into the bill, and this is why I say it's an industry extinction event. The death blow wasn't the 0.3% or clarifying Delta 8 synthetics. All of that material, I think everybody gets it and wants it out of the hands of kids. Everybody agrees. The state of New Jersey agrees on their own, and they have mandated through the governor's office that all Delta 8s and any synthetics have to be sold through a dispensary already. So New Jersey's got that part figured out. They don't need the federal government. What the federal government just did intentionally, and there's only two things that this could be, either stupidity or unintentional. The 0.4 milligram THC per container is the death blow. So what that means, just to give people a visual picture, 0.4 milligrams is a half of a grain of table salt. And I don't mean like coarse salt or, you know, kosher salt, like all that stuff is even bigger. A simple grain of Morton salt, cut that in half. That's exactly what that level is. It's an impossible feat to keep the product whole, the intention of the first farm bill, and still process anything unless it goes through a lab. They've created something that can only go through a lab now, and no holistic process can happen.
So it's basically industrialization of the product, mass industrialization. So taking it like you would make seed oils, where you have to put all kinds of crap in it and then leach it off all these nasty chemicals, which seed oils are bad for you anyway. But like for you to get a product to sell, you'd have to start doing these types of processes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'd have to do, and I can't do the process. I mean, it would take probably a few $100,000 of equipment and specialized knowledge to be able to separate. What you're doing is you're taking the plant and you're putting it through a process, a lab process. They call it a film process in some regards, but you're separating all the cannabinoids. And so you're taking out THCs, all of them are separated, including CBD by molecular, how I understand it, by molecular weight. Then you're taking that isolate and getting it sent back to us, and then we can then add it to an oil or a tallow or something else. It's an impossible feat for us to be able to do this on our own. Not only that, but there, because this is so new, the research isn't out. There are some studies that are saying that you can't even separate an isolate, a CBD isolate, effective enough to not qualify for this 0.4 milligram, depending on your dosage size. So when you're using isolates, you're actually trying to boost up the amount of cannabinoids that are in whatever you're trying to sell to somebody else. So we do that through a different process. There's an alcohol process where it will actually distill, and you can triple distill and do winterizing. And then if you do it through an oil process, you can actually do it through heat, but you'll have to do multiple cycles of that to boost up the amount of CBD that you would want in something. So a product like ours, we would have to, we try to sell things in 30-day doses because it's easier for people and it's more symbolic of what the industry normally does through pharmaceuticals. So it's a relatable tactic. So you'll take 30 gummies, you'll put them in daily supply of 20 milligrams. What that would mean is we would have to physically cut each gummy in half, individually wrap them and sell them in different containers to qualify under something like this. It's literally impossible and price prohibitive. The industry is dead.
So it's sort of like a biblical thing, too. You have to lead the camel through the eye of the needle in order to get a product that you could sell. And then on top of that, pay for all this extra packaging, which packaging costs, you know, can add up very quickly. And then you have to do multiple processes. So you're having to pay on the back end more, then you're having to pay more labor, and then pay on the front end with when you go to retail.
Yep. That's exactly right. Even the fiber guys aren't thinking this through. Like, so they're saying, oh, this is intended. Fiber is fine. A herd is fine. You look at the size of what bedding would be, right? So you sell these 50-pound bags. You're telling me there's no dust from trichomes that are going to fall into that? I mean, you have a 50-pound unit of something, the dust alone from processing the hemp to get to the stock. Now, I've been arguing with people about this quite a bit. I feel very strongly and founded in this. So what will happen through the fiber process, first of all, the machinery is not even ready. So you're growing 16-foot stalks, which is great biomass. It's great for carbon sequestration. All the science is there for how good it is for the environment. However, the machines right now, the average machine can only process somewhere between 8 and 10 feet. So you're cutting your crop early. And then you also have to strip off the leaves and if there's any flowering that happens. That's where all the trichomes are. So yes, there's not any in the stalks. There's not any in the fiber or the herd, the center portion of the unit. But the same factories that are stripping them down are the ones that are chopping them up and baling them. So unless they get an exemption for paper, for fiber, for clothes, I'm not saying the end product will have it in there, but every step along the way, it's going to have to be tested. And you're going to have to clean the product before it gets through. So it's already more expensive. If you go try to buy a ream of hemp paper, it doesn't have the economies of scale of standard wood paper does right now. So, you know, what's the cost going to be? Nobody's going to pay for that. And then you got to buy specialized equipment, and nobody's going to be growing hemp because the money is in flower right now until the rest of the market catches up. It's literally a killer. It's done.
Wow.
Our only chance is that states don't comply. And that's a whole nother thing. So now somebody like us falls under the protection of the 2018 Farm Bill. Therefore, we're protected by the New Jersey Right to Farm Act. Once that goes away, like the marijuana guys in New Jersey can grow marijuana legally in the state of New Jersey, it's still not federally legal. So they don't fall under any farming protections of the Farm Act. So now you're subject to any town, municipal, county ordinances that might not like it, the smell of it in the air, or they want to make it an indoor grow now. Well, you know, hemp doesn't get the price. Even flower or processed product doesn't get the price that a marijuana does. So it goes away. Everything goes away.
And there you've got an industry that's trying to rebuild itself. We used to grow hemp in the 40s. They were saying grow hemp for freedom to make rope. You know, it's not like this is something new. The American flag has been made out of hemp. I think the Declaration of Independence is signed on hemp paper. I mean, let's just...
Yeah, the first drafts for sure. Yeah.
And so
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're showing a picture of grain. I mean, you look even at the grain industry. Here's the other problem. Like, all these other countries that are more reasonable, are they're going to get all the farming. They're going to get the money from it. They're going to get the processing from it. You can get isolates from China and India with heavy metal. And then you look at grain. I'm not making this up, and it varies quite a bit. There's not real data on it, but it's something like it's a 33 to 1 import to domestic product on grain. So if you go to Whole Foods or wherever, you've got a 33% chance more chance to actually get grain that's not even domestic. So they're the grain farmers, hemp farmers, which we've been looking into, they're not even ready for something like this.
So it's cutting an industry off at the knees even before it gets going, as it has been trying to flourish since 2018, which is something Trump put in the bill. And, you know, and he even recently put out a video about CBD and how it's helping people. So I don't know how this thing snuck through. He, you know, does he even know about it? That would be interesting to find out. You know, Rand Paul was bitching about it on the Senate floor because he's and Thomas Massie both were. But who's over there? Mitch McConnell, Kentucky. He's also from Kentucky, but he's there doing his one last bidding for the Chinese.
These guys are so crafty. Like, you're dropping this now down to a Schedule One drug, right? Like, now you're looking at this thing the way you look at heroin and LSD. You don't even put it as Schedule Two, where you're right next to cocaine and crack. So what does that do? That basically halts. That makes even research nearly impossible for an average lab without tons of red tape and 8 or 9 different agencies who are going to have to rubber stamp it. And, you know, if they don't want this to happen, clearly they're not going to rubber stamp it. So you can't even get to the point now, if this gets scheduled as it did, I guess in 365 days, it'd be a Schedule One. I mean, what does that even mean? Like, this is beyond. And the worst part is the U.S. government has a patent on the health benefits. So Schedule One drug is something that we consider no health benefits whatsoever in the world. So the U.S. Department, the United States government has a patent on the health benefits of this product, cannabis, since 1981. And now they're trying to tell us that there's no health benefits whatsoever. Let's put it right next to heroin. Are they out of their minds?
Yeah, it's like, what's that movie you are putting out there? It's it was a marijuana movie. Yeah, Reefer Madness. Like, we're going back Reefer to that. Madness. It's almost going backwards in time. You know, creating this thing. And I can see, you know, you look at some of the packaging of some of these products, and to me, it looks like it is kind of geared towards younger people. Like, hey, look at this flashy thing. And I can see, hey, we're going to regulate, we're going to make packaging look dull and bland. People know what they're getting. So I could see a small bit of, you know, hey, let's look at our packaging, let's self-regulate. But you've got these just infinitesimal numbers that you have to reach. I've had hemp people reaching out to me the last couple of days, like sending me texts, like, you're not going to believe what's going to happen. You can't believe this. And it just goes on and on. How many people do you think in your cycle of just on your farm, how many people do you think you're providing jobs to?
I mean, we just started out, right? But the hope for growth is really big. But right now, we employ on the farm itself probably somewhere at any point, 10 to 15. Now, you know, it's kind of intermixed. We have a horse business that started as a horse farm, and we've got cattle. And then with the cattle, we actually make tallow and then hot dogs and hamburgers that we supply to the town. So it's a little bit mixed in that regard. But on the hemp side, that's where the growth is for us. We've strategically looked at this. Somebody approached us to grow marijuana about a year ago. We never got comfortable with it. And then we decided to go down this hemp route. And then once you learn what it can do for people and you see, anecdotal or not, you see the effect that it has on local people, family members, and friends for three specific areas. And this touches a lot of America, right? With a non-opioid product, sleep, anxiety, and pain relief. Now, I'm not even talking about gut health and seizures and restless leg syndrome and Crohn's disease and all the other things that people are getting some relief from, or at least claiming that they are. I got to be careful what I say. But those three things that people come in, I mean, it is life-changing. It's life-changing for them. And believe it or not, it's life-changing for their animals. We have a lot of people buying cat CBD and dog CBD. That, we can't get a dose low enough to even be able to sell that to animals.
Yeah, it's just, it's creating, you know, the Republicans have always been about less regulation, but this is clearly designed to kill an industry. It's not designed to even regulate an industry. It's designed to regulate it out of existence because they feel, I think you're seeing it from Big Pharma. I think you're seeing it from the other industries out there that, you know, people, alcohol, tobacco, you know, those are the three industries that are still very powerful in this country. And they're looking at this going, hey, we got to stop this. It's too much growth. And so how do we do this? Well, let's get our buddy Mitch McConnell and we'll get him to write this amendment in this bill that's supposed to be a clean CR. Doesn't seem to be very clean. And then once again, you've got, you know, the hemp industry reeling after the president's publicly come out and already supported it. So this is, yeah, this is, I mean, getting insane.
You hit it in the very beginning. I mean, when big alcohol and big pharma and even tobacco see sales go down, even if it goes down 10%, which it might even be more than that, you're talking about an unbelievable amount of money going out from pockets of affluent people who have been having the lobbies for a long period of time. There's a lot of establishment there for decades and decades. But you see something like that, I don't think what they understand is the kids don't want it anymore. You know, my generation, so I'm an Xer, I just turned 50. Our generation grew up on drinking. There wasn't really many other options. There was some pot out there and things like that. But the kids these days, I mean, we do more events with, and we have a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old. These kids aren't drinking. They're not doing what we did. And they're finding other ways to soothe their anxiety, especially, I mean, you can get down the whole social media aspect of what that's doing to our children and our population with attention span anxiety and fear of missing out. But those kids, I mean, they're looking for something else to relieve themselves without getting high and without getting drunk. And we have a product here that is made by God out of the ground, unadulterated, that can actually help people in major, major areas. I don't think, listen, even if they make it illegal, I don't think alcohol is going to see a boom. I mean, that's just not what's going to happen. They're going to find black market products and they're going to find foreign products to fill this need. The Pandora's box, the genie's already out of the bottle. It's not coming back in.
It's going to go, you know, you'll see more black market, which, you know, you're talking about the stuff coming from China. They have illegal marijuana farms up in Maine, and they're finding the different fertilizers and chemicals that they're using. They're banned in the United States. You can't even bring this stuff into the United States. The Chinese are bringing it in and putting it on the plants, and then they're selling this to people. So you have no idea with that. Once you light that and you create that chemical reaction, I mean, who knows what you're putting into your body, into your lungs. And, you know, they are seeing, you know, anything from China, I'd be suspect of right off the bat. And that's the good thing about, you know, edible CBD. It's like you can eat it. You don't have to smoke it. You can there's yep. other ways that you can put it into your body. And the stuff works. I mean, I've got the rubs. I've had the gummies. You know, it all, we've sold different versions of it here. We had something a long time ago called Washington's Reserve, which, you know, because George Washington grew it. You know, it's just like, it's so crazy that we're going backwards in time. And it just seems like it's to, you know, soothe some special interest. And we come back, we're coming back in about 4 minutes. I want to talk about the ground effort you're seeing from the industry, because you guys are going to have to basically, you know, go full bore on this to get your representatives to come in and write a new bill to get rid of these provisions, because that's the only way it's going to change. So you have a year. The year, it's a counting down. You got 1 year. So we'll be right back with Farmer Mike over at Jennings Clean Farm at JenningsCleanFarm.com, and we're going to talk all about it.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world, and they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them, because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed, so there's no example of anybody else and no hope worldwide.
nothing but darkness and evil rulers, because they can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction, when despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself, because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy, when it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks, that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York, and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls, and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80-plus percent of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%, not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill, not be able to say 2 + 2 = 4, not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else, the poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate, deliberate, premeditated, 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 premeditated.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Duke, sitting in for Brianna Morello for the next couple days. And we're really deep in the weeds here. Pardon the pun. We're deep in the weeds on this hemp bill. This amendment that was in this clean CR, to basically kneecap the hemp industry and kill a multi-billion-dollar, $26 billion industry, probably 500,000 employees nationwide. It's not just the medicine. It's not just people going helping them go to sleep and reduce their anxiety. It's being hemp's being used in paper. It's in clothing. People are using it to make flour. You can make hemp oil out of it to just cook with. In fact, I think the first diesel car was made to run on hemp oil, because that's how much. There's a lot of growing seasons you can get with it. It's way better than trees because you don't have to grow. It takes 20 years to get a tree up. Well, you can have three seasons in 1 year, three growing seasons of hemp. So it's ridiculous that they're doing this. This is definitely a special interest move. And do you guys have that one video? We got a group. I want to play this because this is the type of InfoWar spirit we need out there for people to get mad and get in the face of their government and say, hey, you're going to switch this. Here it is. This is from a local hemp producer.
Fahrenheit, which is nearly 1,000 degrees Celsius.
No, that's not the one.
Have survived over an hour of intense.
Okay. All right, crew's great. It's like a bunch of dudes sitting around talking about how they're being screwed. I'm going to send that again. I sent you two. Well, y'all screwed that pitch up. It's all right. See if y'all can find that one. It's like a bunch of people in a group, and they all scream and yell like freaking crazy-ass InfoWars. So see if y'all can grab that clip and just play it. But let's go back to our guest, and we'll just play that later. Maybe we'll play that at the end of the show or something. I don't know. Mike, I was talking about growing seasons. How many growing seasons do you get with your hemp?
Yeah, so we can get two full crops per field. You know, generally takes us, we'll use an auto because we're in the Northeast, and it doesn't go off the sun. It's not a photo, so it doesn't go off the sun rhythms. It actually will go off of a days and period, and sometimes it'll be influenced by weather a little bit. So generally, our seed to harvest is 75 to 80 days. So we can generally hit last frost, third week of May, somewhere in there, and then we can plant again and cross over as soon as that one's harvested. So generally two per field, which is great.
Which, you know, and you come into the South, you could get, I know they get three in Texas when they grow it. So it's like you're really making the most out of the land. You're getting the most yield from it. And then you have all these uses. Like the uses are just outrageous, all the things you could do with hemp. And then you have the government coming in, you know, with Mitch McConnell leading the charge, or I guess falling over, leading the charge to just kneecap this industry. What are you guys doing in your area? And then what do you see going nationwide of people just trying to change this law and get it, or get a new law written to, that supersedes this amendment? I mean, what are people doing?
It's probably the most difficult thing to sort through right now. I mean, obviously this is pretty new. I mean, I didn't even hear that they were slipping this in. I didn't even hear McConnell was slipping this in until very late, right? So then it became surreal, and you go through the seven stages of grief and then now we're just in this acceptance period. So the industry is trying to figure that out. There is clearly a battle for some reason between the marijuana guys and the hemp guys. And I don't know why that's separated. I know a little bit why that's separated. And there's this mini fraction of the hemp guys who really want to continue with the synthetics added to hemp versus the people who are pure farmers. And that doesn't need to be separated as much as it is either. So right now you're trying to figure out, you know, what that looks like. And then there's two paths. Once you figure that out, once we figure that out, and we're getting closer to that already, there's two paths. There's the federal path, and then you obviously have the state path. We're lucky we're in a state that is, the first time I've said this in my life, we're lucky we're in a state that is very blue, and they tend to accept marijuana as a God-given right better than the red states do, like a Texas. So we feel that we probably have a better chance than somebody in a more conservative state like Kentucky. I don't know what Kentucky's going to do. A lot of hemp farmers there, a lot of good people. I talked to a lot of the Amish farmers who are in Pennsylvania. They have no idea. They can't do anything anyway, but they don't even know what this means or how this happens. And those guys are depending on contracts. You know, they only farm, they don't process, right? So getting to the layers of this, and then you're looking at farmers, processors, wholesalers, retailers. We happen to be on every one of those levels, but then each of those groups have different things that they're interested in at the same time. So finding a common voice and finding an alliance that you can go to Congress and your state Congress, your federal Congress and your state Congress is the trick right now. And so we're sorting all that out with the local independent labs. We're sorting that out with other farmers. We're sorting that out with non-hemp farmers at the same time. And then you're trying to figure out I guess the trickiest level is probably the processing level, because there's people who are processing to add synthetics, and there's people who are processing just pure.
Yeah. So getting to these synthetics, what are they actually doing? What is synthetic about it? Because I've never even this has never really crossed my mind. I'm not super into the industry, but like, what synthetic are they adding to these? And is it to the oil? Is it to gummies? Is it to everything?
So when I say synthetic, I might be wrong in my vocabulary. So hopefully I'm not going to get killed on this later. But basically what you're taking is you're taking the hemp plant and you're processing the CBD to a Delta 8. That's my understanding.
Okay.
Right? And maybe it's not a CBD.
So it's removing CBD, that CBG one molecule. It's removing a molecule or something to make it not THC, but THCA. I know there's different forms of that.
THCA gets confusing for people because basically THCA itself, like if you ingested THCA, and a lot of people will juice cannabis. Dr. William Courtney, who runs the International Cannabis Institute, and I think that's the right name of it. His name is Dr. William Courtney. He's a big advocate on juicing. And the reason that he's a big advocate on juicing, and this all goes away, clearly. He's in Canada, which he might have some more protection. But the benefit of juicing is until you turn THCA, which is the acid, THCA is the acid side, and you have CBDA, which is the acid side, until those are changed, usually through heat, that remains a THCA, an acid. Your body can process THCA in gigantic quantities. I mean, milligram after milligram, gram after gram. I mean, you could take a whole plant, juice it, drink it, and not get high. It's not until that cannabinoid is changed from an acid to the THC that it actually will hit your CB1 receptors, which are on your brain and your spine. And that basically shape of your receptor will allow your THC or an anandamide to fit in that spot and then stimulate the high. It's kind of like the result that you would have, like people would say, after having a runner's high or something like that. So the Delta 8 and products like that are much, much different because they're actually in a lab altered. And quite honestly, in New Jersey, I think that probably goes away because I can't imagine somebody would want to get high off a Delta 8 rather than a Delta 9. I mean, you're talking about a pure high that people feel pretty good. Most of the people I talk to about a Delta 8, they don't get a really good high. But the only purpose of a Delta 8 in changing it is to actually become psychoactive.
And to get it into convenience stores.
I mean, it falls under the hemp. The hemp protection. Yeah.
Right. So I'm looking at this. You sent me a breakdown of this, you know, and you talked about how you guys are like seed to shelf. So you're covering all these processes. So you got farmers and wholesalers. They've got equipment, people, labor, real estate. And you got the processors who are basically taking this product and getting into something you could send to a lab to then get tested and then get processed into different products. Then you're trucking this stuff everywhere. And then you've got the retail. All these have, you know, a real estate, they all have employees, they all have investment capital going into this. So you're really killing not just the hemp shop or the vape shop down the road. There's a whole process beyond that I don't know if people are you know, quite understanding how this is going to kill a lot of different things. And this is an industry that's not going out. You don't have guys who are taking CBD. Well, at least you don't have that many, I think, that are taking CBD and beating their wife or kids. You know, you've got this stuff really, you know, chills people, a lot of people out. That's why they've turned to it. That's why they've stopped drinking as much alcohol. That's why they've stopped partying as much. I want to go to this video, though. This is the mindset I think people need to take and the can-do attitude that Americans have, you know, to not just take this, well, in 1 year we can't do this anymore, so we might as well figure out how to wind down. This is this is who are these people. This is Cornbread Hemp. A company called Cornbread Hemp. And this is the video they put out yesterday in response to this bill being signed by President Trump.
Tonight, President Trump signed the bill to reopen the government. And when he did, he started a ticking clock that will make all CBD products in America illegal in 364 days. But we can't let that happen. So that's the bad news. But Eric, what's the good news?
The good news is we got 364 days to go raise hell and to get this law changed and to fix this issue. And I got a feeling some folks back here, we ain't done. We ain't giving up. Are we giving up?
Yeah. Are we giving up? Come on! Let's go!
Yeah, that's the entrepreneurial spirit, I think, that's made our country so great in the past and is going to continue to make it great and continue to have us leading the way on a lot of different different, you know, areas and categories. We don't just sit there and go, well, government said so, we better not do anything. No, we're, you know, people need to raise hell. And are people in your area talking? Like, have you guys started a group yet? Is there anything going on? I know it's just one day in, but, you know, do something today. Do what you can today that, you know, not put it off till tomorrow. I think there's some saying I'm butchering, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, my personality isn't as reactive as most. So what we're doing right now is making all the proper phone calls, talking to the lobbyists that we can. And it doesn't really matter to me what industry the lobbyists are in, because you can get information on who to talk to and who makes those decisions. Next would be labs. And each of those people have information. And then after that, it will be associations. So there's a Hemp Growers Association, there's Mid-Atlantic Hemp Growers. All of these people have not been connected yet. And so my job, what I'm taking upon myself, is to try to connect all these people and all these groups, and then attack that on the federal side, and then also attack that on the state side. And there's two separate groups. I mean, my network, although just starting, is pretty strong. And I know a lot of the right people to have these conversations and to go. And then after that, it's an audible. I mean, every day you're making a decision based on the information that you get the next day. So I have a meeting today at 3 o'clock with an independent lab in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. She's been pretty tied in with the government, the state government. And so that will be one avenue. Mid-Atlantic Hemp Growers, they're a group of about 45 Amish farmers. That'll be another category. There's somebody who does something similar who's not Amish in New Jersey. That'll be a different category. And then tying all those together to get a bigger voice and to see which players will have more influence in talking to politicians and such. So it's going to be a fight. It will be a fight on the federal level. It'll certainly be a fight on the state level. And then after that, you have to analyze and see where your time is better spent. I mean, I feel bad. I feel really, really bad for states that have no hemp policy whatsoever and only medicinal marijuana. I mean, there are purposes to both. I mean, I think you can abuse just about anything that you want to abuse, but I mean, these people need a voice, right? Like, what happened to my body, my choice? The whole country is now not my body, my choice. Now we can't even choose whether or not we want to ingest something that may, even if it is harmful to us, as long as we know, as long as the labeling is okay. So there's many things that you can concede on that I think politicians will like. Keep it out of the hands of kids. Psychoactive products should be out of the hands of kids. Proper labeling, so people know exactly what they're getting. There's three or four other things that I think that the industry would say, yeah, that's pretty reasonable. And I think those are three or four things to say, hey, yeah, we want the politicians to go back and say, we won this battle. This is what we wanted anyway, and this is what should happen.
Sure. So this might be a shot over the a warning shot to get people going, hey, now you have, and maybe this is a time for the industry to step up and say, hey, we're going to police ourselves. We're going to create the regulations that we know we can work within to do these things, to keep it out of the hands of kids, to people know what they're getting, you know, the different percentages and stuff. So maybe this is a wake up call to get people organized, but it seems like this is a backroom deal going on, you know, with you know, high powered senators or I guess one falling senator, Mitch McConnell. So I know you're about to go. Just tell people a little bit about your farm and the types of products you're making, and you know, give yourself a little plug ski.
Okay, I appreciate that. So we are an all natural farmer. We started down this road trying to help friends and family. So our products and the things that we offer are a CBD tallow, and that's made from tallow from our own head of beef. We have honey, which I'm not an apiarist. I'm not very good at it, but we do have a good friend who has about 80 hives on our farm. So the interaction between the bees and what we're doing are really important to everything that we're doing there for pollination. We have these capsules for people that don't like the taste of it. So that's just a pure decarboxylated product. We also have our top sellers are the gummies, which personally I hate making, but it's a big demand for it. And then we have a CBD oil. And then for special orders, we do a lot of things for people who want something blended together. So natural, all organic products that are blended with the CBD to get kind of an amplified entourage effect. You see on the left-hand side, the ladybugs, that's our symbol of purity. And it also is on a milkweed, which is also a really great plant for an all-natural pure farmer because they attract more aphids than the plant does itself. So all those aphids, spider mites, they'd much rather be on milkweed. So we never pick any of the milkweed that we have, although a lot of farmers will get rid of that.
And then the ladybugs go and eat the aphids. Keeping it.
They'll eat something like 5,000 aphids in their lifetime. They're an amazing, they're an amazing beetle. Yeah, it's a pretty spectacular process that we get to use from them. And because of that, the plants are healthier and
you're not using Chinese poison chemicals to get your product to market at the end of the day.
No. I mean, and that's a great point. Like we have a lot of people saying, well, I'd rather get black market weed than I would from a gas station. It's like, what are you even saying? Like you have people growing with Miracle-Gro and things from China that have heavy metals in it. And when you're bringing stuff in from China, you have to understand the plant is an amazing plant. It can detoxify anything. I mean, radiation, heavy metals, it attracts all of that. So it purifies your ground. And if you do it the right way, you don't need a lot of fertilizer to do it. We don't grow in a greenhouse. We're all natural sun. And people say, well, that's less expensive. And the answer to that is, well, it might be, it might not be. But what you're getting is the full spectrum of sun between, the whole gamut between red and blue light and everything in between. We've only had to water twice last year. So we're not sucking resources out of the town in the community or out of the aquifer in our well. So we have a really great process and I'm really proud of the product that we put out to the marketplace. I'm happy to give it to friends and family and anybody else who wants to partake.
Well, I'm interested to see how this all shakes out. We got a year. The clock is ticking. Mike, thanks for joining us here on the American Journal. And people can check out your what you're making in your farm out there at JenningsCleanFarm.com. Thank you for joining us and have a great day. And keep me updated as to this goes. You have my DM. You can send me information as things progress.
I will. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed the time. And this is you're fighting a good fight. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is God's creation as far as I'm concerned. And we need more, as we say, ganja people out there growing the good stuff.
That's right.
Keeping people rolling. So appreciate your time. Now I want to just...
You too. Thank you.
Yep. Before we go to break, we got about 5 minutes, and I want to get into some information Brianna Morello left me. But before we do that, I do want to let people know we do have the buy one, get one free Shilajit, which it's also the gummies. We sell gummies or capsules at thealexjonesstore.com. And, it looks like, do we still have the free hat? Wow, we still have it. We thought it had gone off the so you still get the murdered out hat. That's okay. Well, it's on the site. So we're just going to go ahead and call it good. Pull that back up. Let people know you still have a chance. You got buy one, get one free Shilajit gummies. When you buy one Shilajit, you get a free hat. And I think with any supplement too, any hat gets one of the murdered out InfoWars hats. Oh, it did. It rolled off. All right. So sorry. False alarm. But we still have buy one, get one free Shilajit gummies right there. Buy one, get one free, thealexjonesstore.com. You know, we're celebrating literally the one-year anniversary of when we were shut down. I'm going to have Alex Jones in here next segment. In fact, somebody give Alex a text. Make sure he knows about this or on his way. Maybe have security reach out to him, see where he's at. But he's supposed to come in here. We're going to talk about some videos that I've uncovered that were at the time of this that we had never seen before. They were kind of deep on the web searches. And one of them is Jake Tapper interviewing the CEO of The Onion. And then this other one is the PBS. In fact, let's play that, the one that starts with clip. So it says clip and then onion. It's a short clip. But this is how they view Alex Jones and the information here that we put out on InfoWars. And it's pretty telling that they are the way they look at him, the way they're like, we have to stop this man by any means necessary. Essentially, that's what he's saying. Here's that clip.
Was there hope that, you know, that buying his site might be able to block him from causing more harm?
I mean, any means of preventing him from causing more harm ought to be explored. But no, I think the important part here was to take the brand and use it for good.
Any means of preventing him from causing more harm. And what are they saying? Oh, he's putting out mis and disinformation. These people aren't, though. Not PBS. No, 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 no. Not BBC, who just got caught editing two clips from an hour apart, putting them together like Trump said them back to back. And I think they just found another station was doing the same thing. It was a Norwegian station had done the same thing. That's because the call goes out to these people. Okay, they're all on the same list. They get the call that says, hey, put these two clips together and show this. This is what Donald Trump is saying. He was telling people to go fight at the Capitol when he wasn't. He wasn't saying that. He's saying we have to fight for what we're doing. So you have to fight to keep us on the air by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's how we stay on the air. That's how whenever this does shut down, by the grace of God, we may stay open. But it's looking like beginning of the year, 2026, it's going to happen. And we don't know who it's going to go to. Maybe The Onion will get it. Maybe someone else will get it. But here's the thing. The people out there, you out there, are the info war. You're the people that make this possible. And we're just going to take everything and just move to another basket. And you're going to move right along there with us, and we're going to keep going. Because the fight for freedom isn't going to stop. You know, we got this article here. Chicago judge orders Trump to release 600 illegal migrants. Like, literally, Trump can't even do his job. Even if you didn't like some of the things he were doing, the things he is doing right, he can't even do because he's being stymied by these Obama and Biden, even Clinton-appointed judges. So District Judge Jeffrey Cummings made the order just a day after Trump declared victory in Chicago. So basically, they have all these migrants being held as part of their immigration crackdown. He's like, no, you got to release them. Boom. Release them. And, you know, we're not... So, oh, it's a $1,500 bond and some form of monitoring, but they're being released. Do you think since they've broken the law already, they're going to honor that commitment to come back into court? Probably not. That's why it needs to be grab them and get them back to where they came from. Bye-bye. And I think they said 1.6 million have already self-deported. Self-deportation is the way to go. And then they're going to allow, if you self-deport, they'll allow you to even have that opportunity to come back. And you've already made inroads. So you might as well do it the right way. Let the United States recover, especially from the housing and everything else, the food prices, everything else. When you got more people trying to eat less stuff, prices are going to go up. Gas is going to go up. Housing is going to go up. Everything's going to go up. In fact, I got a clip from J.D. Vance we will play next hour or the hour after that, talking about the reason the housing crisis is so bad is because of the illegal aliens, illegal migrants, whatever you want to call them. But we need to do something. You can't just say, well, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to pretend and you know, hope that have some hopium and hope that things fix themselves. They're not going to fix themselves. We're going to have to do it. That's what the hemp farmers are doing. The hemp processors are doing. They're going to have to try to change the law in 1 year. They got 1 year to do it. Let's see if they do it. We'll be right back.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch. Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and BodEase Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act. And not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and BodEase Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the BodEase Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and BodEase Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
We'll be right back.